Looking at kind of what Bruce prayed about, that God would refocus our lives. And it's a simple message, but it's one that's very, very important. This issue of faith. God says in His Word that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it also says anything in Romans that anything done apart from faith is sin. So we really need to be very clear about what is faith. And not only what it is, am I living by faith? Am I walking by faith? When I was a young Christian, you accept the Lord, you believe in Him, and then you live your life. And many times I think we err in the fact that faith is something that keeps going on every day, all the time. It's faith. And today I want you to think about faith with these the concept of having eyes of faith, of looking, this word looking unto Jesus. So Hebrews chapter 12, I'll read that and we'll pray together. We'll start with verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's pray together. Our Father, this morning we come, we are your creatures. We come and we lack the very thing you want from us. You want faith. And we come to you, the author of our faith, and the finisher of our faith, the perfecter of our faith, asking for you to give us faith today. Give us a real faith, a zealous faith, a vibrant, a fruitful faith that is directed towards you. Our eyes are upon you, O Lord. We look to you as our King and our God and pray for your blessing on us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Starting off, we're going to look at Numbers chapter 21. If you do have your Bibles with you, we're going to do a little Bible aerobics today, get a little workout. Got a lot of verses I want to cover. So if you want like to follow along, you can. If not, I did leave you the notes. So if you want to go home and spend more time looking over these verses on your own, feel free to do that. This idea of looking, studying some through John and tied in this verse with Numbers, and I just want to kind of look at this to start with. Remember in the desert, the Israelites were complaining about God, and He sent them serpents, and God told Moses to make this bronze serpent. Verse 6, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, sinned, and we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He will take away these serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who's bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. And Moses made a bronze serpent, and he put it on a pole, and so it was that if the serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. All right. And if you'll flip over to John 3, when Nicodemus comes to John and speaks to him about the things he's wanting to know, how can I get eternal life? You know, who are you? And trying to figure out who is this person? Jesus pulls from this verse to help Nicodemus see what is it that I want from you, Nicodemus. John chapter 3, verses 14. And begin with 13. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So you have this word looking in Numbers. Jesus uses the word what? Believing. So Jesus is equating this looking idea with believing. And that's what I want us to really focus on today. What does it mean to look, to have eyes of faith? Paul prays in Ephesians that your eyes of your heart would be enlightened. There's something inside of you that needs to be looking, and have an object to look upon. Just as, you know, you look at the serpent in the wilderness, you were forgiven of your sin, you're healed. If you remember, Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, God told him to look up to the heavens and look at the stars. And if you can count them, number them, your descendants are going to be that many, Abraham. And that looking, Abraham looked, and it says right after that, he believed. And that faith was credited to him as righteousness. So what we want to do is understand, what does it mean to look? What does it mean to have faith that looks? Because I want to encourage you in this. I think many of us, we end up being more like the creatures of the earth. You know, we're always looking down. We're looking at our circumstances. We're looking at our problems. We're looking at everything else. And we're not looking at the Lord through what's going on in my life. I'm not looking at Jesus and you know, behind my marriage, my children, my job, my ailments, my afflictions. And so it's very important that we fix our eyes upon the Lord. Now, I do want to quickly note what faith is not, so we can kind of compare the two. The demons actually believe in Jesus. You guys, y'all know that, right? From James, he says that even the demons believe, and they tremble, right? So they do better than most of us, right? So most of our fellow countrymen. I mean, they're not believing in God, or they're not trembling. So the demons have that going for them. My question is, do the demons look to Jesus for anything? Are they looking to him to get something, to receive something from him? And they're not, right? They know he's there. They believe that he's there. But they're not looking at him with an active faith and trusting in him. And that's what I want to really push us towards today, is that we move from this people that just confess we believe in God to a people that we are looking to God for our very life, our purpose, our joy, our acceptance. So we don't want to be like the demons. We want to be like what Christ is calling us, to look to him. Some examples from faith in the Bible I'm going to share with you. But it's real important to understand, where does faith come from? Many times we get confused and we have to work up this faith inside of us. We have to generate it from inside. And I want to share with you that the Bible is clear about where all good things come from, particularly faith. Hebrews 12, we just read that says Jesus was the what? The author of our faith. That means he started it. And he's also the finisher of our faith. He will complete it. So your faith is from God. And he began it in you. He begins that good work, and he's going to complete it. Ephesians 2, you're very familiar with that. By grace we're saved. It's through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. So faith is a gift. And so just like any good gifts, you go to the giver. You have to go to the giver to receive faith. So if I'm sharing some things and you're wondering, where do I get this faith? How do I get this faith? You go to the giver of the faith, and that's the Lord God. Examples of faith in the Bible, you can go through many. Hebrews 11, as I'm sure you know, has a wonderful collection of people that were walking by faith. Now, this word faith is kind of, sometimes there's words that you just kind of, you know what they are, they're hard to define. Like, if you had to tell your kids, what is faith, what would you tell them? Well, it's believing. Well, the demons believe. How is it different than that? Well, it's kind of trusting. And then you kind of have this, it's kind of a hard describing what faith is. You know what it looks like, and you can see it. You can see the operation of faith. Sometimes it's hard to know. So a lot of times it's good, as you read the Bible, especially as you're reading through the Old Testament, great examples of faith. Well, you know, what does it mean to have faith? Hebrews 11. Let's just look here. Hebrews 11 gives us a good definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's look at Abel. First one he brings up, for by faith Abel offered a sacrifice more excellent than Cain. So let's think about, why was Abel's sacrifice, they both sacrificed, right? Abel had a sacrifice, Cain had a sacrifice. Why was one accepted more than the other? Well, it tells us it's by faith. So we have to understand Abel was doing something that Cain wasn't doing. I mean, they both showed up in church, right? But one was looking at Jesus, and one was just there as a duty, and the heart was not in the right place. So there's something going on inside of Abel, the eyes of faith. He was looking to the Lord for forgiveness and for thanksgiving, and he was for sweet communion. And the other gentleman, Cain, was just bringing a sacrifice as his duty, and then he was going to go on with his life. And there was no looking to the Lord for something. And you can go down this, all the passages, you can go down and kind of look at that. Noah, you know, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, he prepared an ark. Noah, he was seeing something, but it wasn't things that you can see with your eyes, right? The Bible's full of this language. We walk by faith and not by sight. Well, that doesn't mean you're blind. You actually have eyes to see things that aren't seen. And that's what I'm talking about. You have to see things that aren't seen today. You can't just look at what you see. Faith goes beyond that. If faith sees, there's a greater reality that we can't see. And when one day we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ, all the holy angels, and we're going to be like, wow, what was I thinking? Why did I live such a miserable existence when I had all these resources and great blessings around me? I didn't even know it. Just like, Jacob is praying and, you know, this is a house of the Lord. I didn't even know it. You know, that God was in this place. So we need to keep praying that God would keep opening our eyes in faith. Real neat verse down in 27, talking about Moses. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who's invisible. So you see this idea of seeing this. Faith is a looking. It's an active thing. Think about if you just woke up in the morning, you opened your eyes, right, and you took in what you saw, and then you closed your eyes the rest of the day, and you lived in blindness. A lot of times, that's what we do. We look at the Lord maybe in the morning, and we pray, and all of a sudden, the rest of the day, we're blind. We look at our job, we're miserable, we're complaining, we're grumbling, and we're just not living by faith. And how do you know you're not living by faith? Well, it's pretty obvious. You know, you start to see the fruits. You know, am I complaining? Am I worrying? Am I grumbling? Am I fretful? Or am I thankful? Am I humble? Am I, you know, you start to see in your own heart, you'll start to see what faith does to you. Very important concept. Luke 23, it's another good example. Luke 23 is the thief on the cross, right? So you have, again, you have two men, great contrast. You have two men looking at one person. This one person is Jesus Christ. And that person is defigured, deformed, beaten, bloodied. And one man looks at Jesus, and what does he want from him? He wants rescue. All he wants is temporary relief from his pain and suffering. That's all he wants. And he's kind of scorning him. It's a scornful, disdainful remarks that he makes to the Lord, right? The other man, he looks at Jesus, and what does he see? He has eyes of faith. He sees this is a king, and he's got a kingdom. And I want to be with him, and I want to fellowship with him forever. And I'm asking, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So you have two people there looking at the same man and coming and with different eyes. One with the eyes of worldliness, of self, and the other with the eyes of faith and future glory and future blessings. So two good examples there. I would like you to turn to Matthew 14. I don't hear a lot of Bibles flipping, so I'm assuming you're going to go home and study all this on your own later, right? We'll turn to Matthew. I will make a turn there. If you would, please. Matthew 14. This is a good example. This is an example of unbelief. There's a lot of examples of faith in the Bible. There's also a lot of examples of unfaith, right? Peter is a good example. And this is part of what we need to learn, because we are people of faith, and we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. But many times we can, in one hour, exhibit great faith, and the next moment forget what we just learned. And it's something that we got to keep reminding ourselves. I mean, hopefully this message is not something you're like, I know about faith, you know, can we preach about other things? I mean, this is it. If you don't get this message, you know, this is what God wants from you, and this is how we receive blessings and fellowship and communion with one another. So, Peter, chapter 14 of Matthew, verse 25. Let's look there together. We'll start in 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him on the other side, And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the winds, and the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost," for they cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke and said, "Be of good cheer, it's I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to the water." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, how's Peter doing so far? He's doing great. What's he doing? He's looking to the Lord. He's believing. He has the eyes of faith, and he's trusting in the Lord. Next verse. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. What happened? Well, Peter took his eyes off of the Lord. He took his eyes off the Lord. He forgot the many wonderful miracles and power that God had. And he looks at his circumstances. He starts to look around him. He starts to reason within himself. "How am I walking on the water?" And, there's all these probably thoughts and fears going inside of his mind. So, starts to sink. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. He began to sink and said, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, what did he say? "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So you see here, here's Peter. I love to pick on Peter, right? He's always making mistakes, but we are Peter, right? We are Peter. We make these mistakes. We have a wonderful quiet time, and we're all pumped up and ready to go for the day, and all of a sudden, boom, we hit the kids, we hit work, we hit life, and then we're like, man, they're looking around, the waves, and all's going on. And then you start to worry, and you start to fret, and you start to exhibit these doubts, and Jesus looks at you, and you start to feel like you're sinking, right? And so Peter did a good thing. He cried out, "Lord, save me," right? He got his eyes back on the Lord. And the Lord did save him, and he gets rebuked. And the issue is his faith, right? His faith was the issue. It's not as maybe what so much you know, but it's how you use what you know. We can be the best theologians in the world, but if we're not believing and acting on those thoughts, I mean, it's like just dust collecting in a library, right? We need to have a living word, a living faith that we utilize. Hebrews 3 is another good one. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but if you do, you'll receive greater blessings, I promise, because you'll be able to follow along. Hebrews chapter 3, this is a good verse. It kind of summarizes all the Old Testament. You got all these Old Testament, when they came out of Egypt, and they grumbled and complained. I mean, you can go through all that thing. Hebrews 3 kind of summarizes all up in a nice little paragraph here. 3:16, "For who in having heard rebelled? And indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry with for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but that those who did not obey," right? So this issue of obedience. But I want you to see the root of disobedience. 19, "we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." This unbelief was the root of their problem. They did not believe the Lord. Now, would you say they saw God, they saw his presence exhibited in a cloud and a fire, and you would say, "Do you believe in God?" "Yeah, I believe that there's a God. He brought us out. He did all these great miracles." But they weren't looking to him. They weren't looking to him. When they had problems in the desert, instead of saying, "Lord, help us, we're hungry," they complained, "You're trying to kill us." Like, that's unbelief. Like, that's great. It's almost blasphemous against the Lord. Like, what do you mean I'm trying to kill you? I just rescued you out of slavery and bondage. And many, many times our own hearts can do that against the Lord. We can quickly turn and complain against him and grumble. And it's just not pleasing to the Lord. Verse 2 of chapter 4 says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to them as well as to them. This is a good verse right here. "But the word which they heard didn't profit them because it was not mixed with faith." So there was not this hearing with faith. So that was a real problem. The opposite of faith is this doubting, right? We have these doubts. So I want to encourage each one of us to look to the Lord, right? So look to the Lord in faith. Now, I just came up with a short list. There's many more, I'm sure. So don't come up and say, hey, let the bunch out. I know I let the bunch out, but I know you guys don't want to sit here for another 5 years. Listen to me. Preach all the things that you can get from the Lord by looking to God. But I tried to pick verses that actually had, they didn't all work out that way, but some of them, most of them have the idea of looking, and I thought it was really neat, this idea of looking tied to the verse. What are we looking to God for, right? So I'm looking to the Lord. What am I looking to Him for? I listed maybe 10 or so, salvation, adoption, justification, pleasing the Lord, sanctification, peace and grace, wisdom and guidance, daily needs, forgiveness, eternal life. This is what I'm looking to the Lord for. I'm going to read through these fairly quickly, but I do want to make a few brief comments. What are we looking to God for? Salvation. Isaiah 45, 22. God says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. God wants you to look to Him. He wants you to look to Him for salvation. The other choice is to look to yourself for salvation. That's what every other religion in the world says, look to yourself. I mean, you look at God, but you got to look at yourself. God wants us to fix all of our attention upon Him for salvation. John 1:29, there's a couple verses in there when Jesus is there, and John the Baptist sees Jesus. Do you know what he says? It says, behold, the Lamb of God. He wants his disciples, look at the Lord. This is the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. So the main thing we look to the Lord for is salvation. We want to be saved. We want to be saved from our sin, from ourselves, from God's wrath. The next thing we're looking to the Lord for, I just listed not any order of importance necessarily, but just adoption. John 1:12. John 1:12 says that as many, let me kind of back up a little bit here. Jesus, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. Meaning, as I'm interpreting here, they didn't look to Him as their Savior. They were not looking at Him as their King and Redeemer and God. They rejected Him. But as many as received Him, He gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in His name. So our adoption is from God, and it's by that looking to Him we are made children of God. Justification. Romans, you got many, many good passages in Romans. I just picked out one, Romans 4. For what shall we say that Abraham, our father, is found according to the flesh? If Abraham was justified by works, or by looking at his own ability to keep God's law, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham was justified by his looking at the Lord. He was literally looking at stars and believing that God's word was true. And that made him right with God. He was justified. That's an amazing concept, that God would declare that you are not guilty by looking and believing in Him. That's a wonderful thing. David in the Psalms says, what blessedness belongs to him who has forgiven, but his sins are not imputed to him. And so we need to find great, it's a great, you're just like, wow, how does God do that? It is an amazing and blessing that God justifies us by looking, by our eyes of faith, by trusting Him. Pleasing the Lord, Hebrews 11:6 I spoke about earlier. God says in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. You can't do it. Now, you might think you're pleasing the Lord, but you're not. And, God alone is the judge of even your own conscience and self. But if you do not get your eyes on the Lord and look to Him, your life will not be pleasing to Him. And you might think, hey, I've given all this money, I've done all these great things. Whatever is not done in faith is sin. That's what Romans says. Paul says in Romans. So you've got This is something that we need to just be very clear on in our minds. Am I looking to the Lord? Am I fixing my eyes upon Him? Am I coming to Him for even the good works that He wants me to do? Ephesians says we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, but we're not saved by those. But all these things, pleasing the Lord, sanctifying by the Spirit. Galatians 3, Paul's rebuking these Galatians because they did well. Says, who cut in on you? You were running a good race. You started with faith and you received the Spirit by faith. But now that you've done it by faith, you're trying to do it by your own works. And Paul says, you can't do that. You can't believe in God for salvation and now work out my salvation on my own. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose. So you have to look to God, not only for your adoption, your justification, but your sanctification and your ability to please Him in every way. Peace and grace. Romans 5 says, we're therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we look to Him for peace and it talks about the grace in which we now stand. Wisdom and guidance. James 1, very common verse that I'm sure all of you know. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Right? So he kind of compares these two things here. So your eyes must be upon the Lord. For do you need wisdom? Do you feel like you're foolish? You're struggling, things like that? Do you need guidance? You know, look to the Lord in faith and trust him. Matthew 6. Gives us a wonderful prayer. We all know it by heart, the Lord's Prayer. But I want you to notice, how does the prayer start? Well, the prayer begins by getting you to fix your eyes upon the Lord. It says, Our Father in heaven. He wants you to look up. He wants you to consider your gaze. Where are you looking? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So now my whole vision is on God, right? My whole gazing is upon Lord, your glory, your will be done. And then he teaches us to ask for the things that we need. You know, give us our daily bread, Lord. Give us forgiveness of our sin. Help me to forgive people. Help me to receive for your forgiveness. And lead me not in these temptations. I struggle so many days with all these temptations. Lord, help me with that. So, but your gaze is upon the Lord when you're asking these things. Eternal life, John 6, this is a good verse, I'm going to read this one out. John 6, Jesus is talking to a group of people, talking about bread coming down from heaven, and starting verse 37, or in verse 36, and don't you see all this, the seeing language and the believing is just kind of all this tied together. But I said to you that have seen me, and yet do not believe, all that the Father gives will come to me, and the one who comes to me will by no means be cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me. I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up on the last day. And verse 40 is what I want you to look at. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise them up at the last day. We are looking to the Lord for this great promise of eternal life. Right? This is not our home. I know there's many things that God's given to us as wonderful gifts. He's given us work and families and friends and good and wonderful gifts. And even our own bodies. But we need to just know that there's something so much better coming. And we need to be looking for that and not be so content with what we have and having our eyes fixed upon the things of this world. So, living by looking. So I want you to think about, are you living by faith? Are you living by looking? Are you, when you're encountering your everyday life, when you're encountering your work and troubles and marriage and friends and situations which you're, you know, just think about things that cause me problems, things that I get worried about, things that I struggle with. How are you handling that? I want you to think about how am I handling that situation? Am I looking to my own resources? Am I looking inside myself and trying to fix this thing? Or am I looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to trust you with this. I ask you for wisdom in this situation. I ask you for your power, for your grace, for all these things. How are you handling that, right? There's four places in the Bible where the Bible never encourages us. I think in America, I know growing up, you always got asked the question, if you're a Christian, what was the question? Well, when did you accept the Lord? That was a big deal. Well, I did it on January 25th, 2000, whatever. And that was a big deal. And that is a big deal, right? But the bigger deal is the Bible never kind of focuses on the conversion experience. It really focuses on the life that comes from that experience. The just shall live by faith. You're not just starting with faith and then you just live the rest of your life as a beast of the earth. Your eyes are towards heaven now. Your eyes have been lifted up. We're not just like the unbelievers that our eyes are fixed upon the passions of this world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. We're not looking that way. Our eyes now are upon a different. We're looking at someone outside of ourselves. We're looking at a great and mighty Savior and God and the Holy Spirit and wonderful blessings that are promised to us. So, four times the Bible says the just shall live by faith. All right, you need to live by faith. In Galatians, Paul says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's got to be active. You know, you got to be an active faith. Imagine you got Dennis and Larissa here. They were in the military. Imagine somebody signing up for the military. They sign up, right? They're in the military. They got the uniform on and they're ready to go. And then the rest of their time, they're just kind of piddling and, you know, not engaging. They're not learning how to shoot. They're not learning how to fight. They're not learning how to communicate with the military, all the military communications. And they feel like they're in, but they're not, you're not in. You're not being a soldier. You know, Timothy says, you know, if you're a good soldier of Christ, you don't get tied up in these worldly affairs. You want to please your master who enlisted you. So your goal is you're looking at the Lord. You're looking, how can I serve you today, Lord? How can I be a blessing to my children today? How can I be a blessing at work? How can I love my neighbors? How can I love my family better today? That's where your eyes need to be. I want to throw out some things here, just again, not an exhaustive list. But I want you to notice a lot of these verses, and you don't need to look up these because I'm just going to read off. A lot of these verses have the idea of looking in them, right? Psalms 5, it's good on praying. I give heed to my voice, my cry, O God, my King. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning. I will direct my voice to you, and I will look up. I'm going to look at you in the morning, Lord. When I get out of bed, I'm going to start my day by looking at you, all right? Got a lot of diapers to change. I got stuff at work. I got these things that are just going on in my life. But I'm going to look at you before I even start my day. Same thing with the Word of God. I didn't put that in here. But you know, when you come to the Word of God, Psalms says, open my eyes, Lord, that I may see wonderful things in your law. Give me the sight to see these wonderful things and that they would be a great, great joy to me. Daniel, many kids in here are familiar with Daniel, right? When he was told him, you can't pray. So what did Daniel go do? He went to pray. And where did he go? Well, he went to his room. He went to a window, which is kind of a neat significance. He's looking out at something. And where does he look? He's over here in this foreign country. He's looking way, way, way in the west, looking towards the king. He's looking to the city of the king, to Jesus Christ. He's looking. His gaze is upon the Lord, and he's praying to him. Daniel 9:3 says, when he's praying again, I set my face toward God. So in your prayers, you got to be looking at the Lord. Don't just kind of rote say our prayers like the rosary, and now we're done, and now we move on. When you pray, you look to God expectantly. Luke 16, you guys, kids in here, what's one of the first things your mom and dad teach you when you're eating? What should you say? So you say a little prayer, right? And, or when somebody gives you something, right, a gift or something, what does your mom and dad have to tell you? Thank you. You have to say thank you. Why do we have to be taught that? Well, because we're usually not thankful people. We're You know, we don't want to be like the cows, right? The cows don't eat the grass and they don't look up to heaven and say, you know, thank you, Lord, for this lovely patch of clover you gave me to eat this morning. They just eat, right? We don't want to be like the beasts of the earth. We want to be people that our eyes are lifted up and we have food. Jesus, when he took the bread, he says he broke it and he blessed it. And what did he do? He looked up, and just that looking up and just acknowledging there's someone bigger than me that gave me this and I want to thank you for it, all right? Psalm 145, the eyes of all look expectantly to you. You give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of everything game. So, in your prayers, I want you to live by faith in your prayers. In your eating, live by faith. Thank the Lord for your food. Eating is a faith act. Eating will tell you, do I believe the Lord gave this to me? Or do I believe I did this on my own strength and power, right? And if you believe the Lord gave it to you, and it's only by His grace that you have this food, you're going to thank Him for it. But if you're not even thankful, that tells a lot about, am I living by faith, right? This is kind of this little acts every day that we live by faith. You know, Paul says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. So the eating and drinking is a God-glorifying work. Do you guys like to eat in here? I do, right? I'm getting ready to go home. Can't wait. And eat. But we need to, God doesn't give us these things. He wants us to train us to live by faith. Colossians 3 is a good verse. You guys in here that have masters and you're working for them, for someone else, you need to work by faith. Even if you're not working for someone else, do it by faith. But particularly in Colossians 3, it says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service, right? So your eyes are not, you're not just working hard when the boss shows up. That's what it's saying. Don't do it with eye service. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance. So in our working, brothers and sisters, we need to be working unto the Lord. It's a act of faith. Okay, if I'm working with Abraham and Abraham's over in the other room and I'm just kind of here and I'm going to slack off when he's not watching me, but now he comes back, now I start working hard, who am I working for? Well, I'm working really for him and I'm trying to get my reward from him. But God says, you're not to be like that. You're supposed to be men that work for me. I will give you a reward. I will bless you. And I want you to have your eyes upon me, even when you're working. So when you're driving the bus, when you're working at work, when, you know, whatever you're doing. In your marriages, right? Proverbs 19:14. Guys, when you wake up in the morning and you see your wife or, you're eating looking at the table, look over at her and I want you to see with the eyes of faith, this is a woman that God gave me. Proverbs says that houses and riches are from inheritance, from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. So you need to look at that woman with eyes of faith, and you need to see God behind your wife, and that God gave me that wife. I need to care for her and be tender with her and love her. Wives, Ephesians says, you submit your husbands, not because I told you so, but because why? As to the Lord. So when you're showing a gentle spirit at home towards your husband, you're doing it as you would to the Lord. You need to see God behind your spouse. Husbands, love your wives. Not because I told you so, but I want you to love your wives as Christ loved the church. You look to the Lord and say, well, how did Jesus love his church? I want to do that with my wife. So you do that in faith. Your marriage is in faith. Your training of your children is done in faith. Paul says in Ephesians, you know, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Don't, you know, tempt them to anger and get them frustrated. But I want you to do something. I want you to look to me. Because if you're doing that, it's just all about me. It's all about obeying me and doing my will. But I want you to train them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So your eyes and your child training need to be on the Lord. I want to train them to obey the Lord. I'm training you to obey God. I'm training you to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't just want you to obey me because I said so. Because one day you're going to be bigger than me, right? And you know, I'm not going to be able to say that to you. I want you to obey because I want you to love the Lord. I want you to follow the Lord, right? Children, you don't get off the hook either. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Don't just obey because mom and dad says so. That's a good reason. But really, your higher obedience should be to the Lord. All of our higher obedience should be to the Lord. All right? So, times of anxiety, I'll kind of finish up here. Be anxious for nothing. So when you're feeling anxious, you're starting to feel this anxiety, Paul says, don't be anxious. What do I do? Well, he says, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Turn your eyes upon the Lord. Let your requests be made known to him. Look to the Lord when you're anxious. I know many of us in here struggle with anxiety. I do, right? I just start a new job. And I'm like, okay, God, these kids at home to feed and got all these new things going on. Is this going to work out? And I get anxious. And so I get to just keep looking at the Lord and saying, you will provide for me. When we get anxious and we doubt, think about what am I communicating to my Heavenly Father? What am I saying to him? All right. Do you love me? Do you care for me? You know, there's some things that really, the bottom of anxiety is, do you love me? And God says, I do. And I want you to trust me in these things. Your thought life, taking every thought captive, 2 Corinthians, struggles and trials. James says, you know, count it all joy when you're going through these trials. Why? Because your faith is being tested and it's growing and you're God's doing something in your life that he's making you better. He's making you more and more like Jesus Christ. Job is a good example. Job, when all these bad things happened to Job, he could have easily looked around and got depressed and despondent, which I'm sure he did some, but his eyes were upon the Lord. When all these, he lost all his houses and wealth and children, he says, you know, he looked at the Lord and said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will return. The Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He put his eyes on the Lord and he fixed them on him and said, Lord, I am not happy. I'm sad. I'm despondent, but I know this is from you and I trust in you. And that's kind of where we have to fix our gaze. In closing, I want to look, if you want to turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9 is a good little verse for all of us to know, because we all struggle with unbelief, right? There's times when your faith is really strong, and there's times when it's not. There's times when you're really excited and zealous for the Lord, and there's times when you're not. And in both of those times, you need to go to the Lord. Because one side, you're going to be proud, and you're going to kind of be puffed up. The other side, you're just going to be kind of self-despair. So you need to, in both times, you go to the Lord, thanking him for the faith he's given to you. Even if it's a little faith, right? I'll close with this. Mark 9, starting in verse 20, Jesus just came down from the mountain, from the Mount Transfiguration, and there's this father here, and he's got this child that's demon-possessed, and disciples can't cast him out. And Jesus asked the father, verse 21, so he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it's often thrown him into the fire and the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that needs to be our prayer every morning. Lord, I believe in you. Help me. Help me when I'm not believing. Help me when I'm getting really frustrated with my children. Help me when I'm losing it at work. Or help me when I'm getting depressed over my life situation. Or help me when I'm not trusting or I'm not being as thankful as I should. And this man is the heart of all of us. You know, do it with tears. You know, come before the Lord. Mean it. Cry out before him that you want to believe. I want to. There's this body of death I struggle with. Lord, I struggle with doubt. But I want to believe in you, and I do believe in you, and help me. Help me in that. And the Lord loves that. The Lord never turns those kind of people away. You know who God turns away? He turns away the proud. He turns away someone that says, I don't need your help. I don't need your help, God. I can do it myself. And God says, I won't help you then. But if you come to God humbly and say, Lord, I need help. I do believe. I want to have greater faith. I want to have greater love. I want to have greater wisdom and greater appreciation for all these things you've given to me. He will bless you. He will give you what is good because he loves you. You're his children. He wants that from you. Amen. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this word you've given to us, faith. Lord, it's very simple to come to you by faith. And that's the hardest thing to do for us. Lord, it's so hard. We're so self-driven, self-sufficient, and I pray that you would just continue to humble us, that we would be meek and humble before the Lord. And you have such many great promises for those who humble. You say the sacrifices of God are a contrite heart, a humble heart. And Lord, forgive us for being stiff-necked and proud. We just come like this, Father, asking you that you would, Lord, we do believe, and help us in our unbelief. And it's for Christ's sake and glory that we pray. Amen.